Blog Talk Radio.
I hate you both. I've hated you ever since I can remember. I hate you, and I wish you both had cancer.
Cancer?
Yes, in the head.
I'm as tired as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
Are you telling me you built a time machine out of a DeLorean?
That's hot.
Hello there, children!
Hey, kids!
People seem to like me because I am polite and I'm rarely late.
And now, the host of the Stupid Cancer Show, Matthew Zachary.
Monday, February 9th, and we are once again live on the Stupid Cancer Show, the voice of young adults with cancer. We are your friendly neighborhood weekly social webcast, finally giving voice to nearly 5 million Americans, young adults affected by cancer. This broadcast is a program of the I'm Too Young for This Cancer Foundation and national leader in the fight against cancer, working exclusively on behalf of survivors and their care providers under the age of 40. Got cancer under 40? Sucks, huh? Well, get busy living, because the Stupid Cancer Show is on the air. Welcome to tonight's broadcast. We're here to change the world, one chemo infusion at a time, and share all of our collective craftiness. Now, call me a hippie, but do not call me a victim, because I don't believe that change is possible. You never disrupt and challenge the status quo. I am still here, you are still here, and this is why we fight. Forget the cure, folks. That's right, you heard it here first. Forget the cure. Survivorship is all that matters. Last week, we spoke with Craig Lustig, Executive Director of the Children's Cause for Cancer Advocacy. They had their Rise to Action Conference in L.A., and we'll be talking with Jack later about that. We spoke with author Karen Young, co-survivor advocate and author of the book Healthy Eating and Living with Cancer. And we had Gene Sachs, the CEO of Living Beyond Breast Cancer, phenomenal organization hosting their 9th annual Young Women Affected by Breast Cancer Conference in Dallas at the end of February. More to come on that with Jack in the News. But on tonight's show, we are going to be hearing from Mae McCarmo, young adult breast cancer survivor and founder and executive director of the Tiger Lily Foundation, and our friend Marles Johnson, a cancer co-survivor and author of the book Cancer Adventures, Turning Loss into Triumph, and the co-founder director of Cancer Adventures. So hello, my friends, and welcome to yet another fun-filled and exciting romp through the hands tonight's Stupid Cancer Show, and a Stupid Cancer welcome to all our first-time listeners here on the Blog Talk Radio Network, our new home on the Internet, starting in 2009, coming at you live from the Chemo Deck, our brand-new studio in downtown Manhattan. I'm your host, Matthew Zachary, a 13-year young adult survivor of pediatric brain cancer. Joining me live in the studio tonight, our chief cancer anarchist, Jack Buffard. Hello, Jack.
What's up, buddy?
Yo, yo! Jack will be monitoring our live concurrent interactive chat room. So if you have something to say, well, I might ignore you, he won't. But feel free to ignore him, as most people do, especially the women. And with unfortunate news tonight, Carol Rosenthal, my co-host, could not join us tonight. She unfortunately had a passing in the family, so we send our condolences to good karma to the Rosenthals out in Pittsburgh this evening. Thank you so much for your contributions to the show, Carol. We'll look forward to having you back next week. God bless. So welcome to the Stupid Cancer Movement, because we're here to stay and the couch is comfy. We're not about the, we're not just about the quantity of your life, we're about the quality too. Why? Because it's more to the cure than just research. For better or for worse, change comes slowly and only from within. The need to cure cancer for Gen X and Gen Yers, whatever that means, is only going to come from within our own ranks. Are we on our own? Well, I say that if we're the generation that invented Google and Facebook and Second Life and Kids and Giant, American Idol, all those weeks, we should be able to take care of our own. This is Generation Cancer, my friends, and it is our fight. We have the sheer numbers, the voting power, and the influence to change the rules. Because remission is not an excuse for a cure, and survivorship is all that matters. Are you in? The time is now, because it's time. It's our time, and it's about time. Donna Martin graduates. And now the news.
Hello, I'm Kent Brockman, and this is Eye on Cancer.
Just the facts, ma'am.
Alrighty, during this part of the Stupid Cancer Show, we announce worthy news stories to our adoring listeners to inform them about the latest and greatest in young adult programs, services, events, projects, and other stuff. If you have an upcoming program, event, service, project, or other stuff that you would like to hear broadcast during this part of the segment, please fax it to me at 718-745-1928. That's 718-745-1928. Or email stupidcancer@imtooyoungforthis.org. That's stupidcancer@imtooyoungforthis.org. Take it away, Jack.
Attention, Maryland. The Omen Cancer Fund for Young Adults is proud to present their Screw Cancer Happy Hour series. Screw Cancer Happy Hour dates for Columbia, Maryland are February 18th and March 18th. And the Baltimore, Maryland Happy Hours are February 19th and March 19th. For more information, visit omenfund.org. That's U-L-M-A-N fund.org. Wednesday, February 25th, from noon to 2 Eastern Standard Time, Stupid Cancer and Crazy Sexy Cancer Get Serious. I2Y founder Matthew Zachary, that's you!
That's me.
And your chief cancer anarchist,
that's you!
That's me,
yeah!
Jack Bouffard will be joined by Crazy Sexy Cancer author Chris Carr for the oncology show on Sirius XM Satellite Radio's Dr. Radio. Matthew, Chris, and I will be in studio discussing the young adult cancer movement while raising awareness to our age-specific needs with hosts Dr. Abe and Dr. Sylvia. Your calls and comments are welcome, and you can find SiriusXM's Dr. Radio at www.sirius.com/Dr. Radio. Hello, ladies! The Young Survival and Living Beyond Breast Cancer Coalition's 9th annual conference for young women affected by breast cancer is being held at the Hilton Anatoly in Dallas, Texas, February 27th through March 1st. Don't be shy about signing up at youngsurvivorsconference.org because I won't be there. St. Louis, Missouri. Achieving Recovery from Cancer to Health. Childhood Cancer Survivor Retreat Weekend is being held at the Perry Marquette Lodge in Grafton, Illinois. Friday, March 20th. Check that. Friday, March 20th through Sunday, March 22nd. Young adult survivors 18 to 30 years old and are two years removed from treatment may attend this free weekend. For more information and to apply, contact Lisa Matola at area code 314-454-4635 or email Lisa at lmm1321@bjc.org. Can't Make a Dreams Ovarian Cancer Retreat in Fabulous, Montana is April 30th through May 4th. Refer to campdream.org for more information or call Can't Make a Dream at 406-549-5987. Next we have 70k.org. That's the word 70, the letter K, .org. There are approximately 70,000 people aged 15 to 39. That's us, Matt.
That is us.
Diagnosed with cancer every year. For over two decades, there has been little or no improvement in survival rates for this age group. By signing this bill, you are supporting the Adolescent and Young Adult Cancer Bill of Rights to be established as a standard for care to meet the needs of this underserved population. Moving on to cancer care programs. The young adult groups that are active in running at cancer care are Living with Cancer, Inactive Treatment, Life After Cancer, Post-Treatment, Young Adults, Loss of a Parent, Young Women with Breast Cancer, Young Adult Individual Grief Counseling, Young Adult Caregiver for all diagnoses and relationships. contact Julie Larson at jlarson@cancercare.org. That's J-A, check that. That is J-L-A-R-S-O-N at cancercare.org. Or by phone at 212-712-6173. Next up, we have LiveOn, sperm banking by mail for cancer patients. Trust me, guys, do not do what I did. Mailing sperm without a LiveOn kit is frowned on by our federal government. For more information on sperm banking by mail, please go to www.liveonkit.com. Live sperm banking by mail is made possible by our good friends at Fertile Hope, and I personally would like to send a big thank you to the law firm of Dewey, Skroom, and Howe for clearing up my embarrassing situation with the United States Postal Service. And finally, the I'm Too Young for This OMG Summit for Young Adults is being held in New York City on Monday, May 4th. Please go to www.omgsummit.org for more information. People can pre-register March 1st, Matthew? March 1st. So get all the information. We're very limited. We are only allowed 175 people at this conference. So make sure you get on the site, and please note your calendars that registrations will start on March 1st. And that, my friends, is the Stupid Cancer News.
All righty, Jack Buffard with the Stupid Cancer News. So this is some new theme music I'm working on here. I didn't write it. This is Queen.
You're a queen.
On occasion, perhaps. This song is called I'm Going Slightly Mad.
Lee is a queen.
Lee is a queen. The reason we're playing this song is because I have a new rant, a new monologue that I've written exclusively for this evening's broadcast, and I've been promoting for the past week or so. And there's a bit of a prologue that goes along with this. The rant is called The Taking Tree. Late effects are awesome. And to predicate, I shall disclose that on March 28th, 2007, I went spontaneously deaf in my left ear. And yes, it can apparently just happen like that. It's called sudden onset sensory neural hearing loss, and it seems to happen every day, mostly to really old people. Evidently, the cochlea just wakes up and decides to stop working. Well, it was the general consensus of my entire medical team that this was, for me at least, a late effect, rearing its ugly head after all the Chernobyl-level radiation I had to my brain when I was being treated for cancer in 1996. So anyway, in 2007, 2 weeks of prednisone plus 3 months of recovery, I was fine. I got my hearing back, thank God. That particular experience yielded my first essay, which was called The Cost of Living, No Cure for Cancer, which actually got featured on the Huffington Post and helped put our movement on the map a little bit. You know, everyone likes to write and express themselves, and it was very cathartic to get it all on paper and put to rest any remaining fears or apprehensions or frustrations. Well, we all know the saying, I've been through worse, but apparently the best is always yet to come, because it happened again. February 2nd, last Monday, only this time I went deaf in my other ear.
What?
Exactly. So thanks, Late Effects Fairy, for keeping me sane and reminding me that I'm living on borrowed time and trying to make the most of what I got right now. You should leave a dime under my pillow this time. And so I'm going back on the prednisone. In fact, I've been on the prednisone for 6 days now, and I think I'm behaving fairly sane, considering I'm not really sleeping much and all that. But we can only pray it works as well as it does in 2007. So here is my as-to-be-yet rant. So let me lower this here. So this is The Cost of Living, The Taking Tree, Late Effects Are Awesome, by Matthew Zachary. That's me. You're cured, go home, saith the doctor. Kiss my ass, saith the me. Man, if I had a dime for every time I heard that. Well, actually, I've only personally been told that once, back in the Stone Age of 1996 when I was diagnosed with brain cancer at the age of 21. So congratulations to me, I've got 10 cents. And I can't even make a phone call. Even gum's 25 cents. Well, anyway, if I had a dime for every time I heard that from another young adult survivor, the you're cured, go home, I'd probably have about $124. Well, I guess do the math. It's still a hell of a lot of pissed off people. And a tank of gas for your Escalade. So when I was actually told you're cured, go home, it was March 30th, 1996. I was an aspiring concert pianist and a composer at the time, just 6 months shy of my college graduation. At the time, however, this fabulous malignant brain tumor crippled my left hand, negating 10 years of classical training, and rendering my dreams to be a Hollywood film composer crushed, diced, minced, pureed, ingested, digested, and then crapped that into a martini glass. Now, many people know this part of my story, but if you don't, welcome to the party, because apparently your cured go home rarely takes into consideration what, precisely, your life after cancer will look like. Just a handful of my then never-to-be-answered personal questions at the time included: will I be able to play piano again? Will I have children? Will I be alive in 5 years? Who's going to pay for all this? What about my family? How will I ever get life insurance? How will I reintegrate myself? What the hell is going to go on with my genetics? And the, man, the granddaddy of them all. What the hell is new normal? I guess maybe the granddaddy of the granddaddy would be what now, but what now seems to sum up all the others. Probably the most selfish question, but appropriately justified. I guess the other question asked was, where are all the people that look like me? Because frankly, I'm kind of sick of all those well-meaning geriatrics staring me down in the waiting room. Oh, you poor thing, you're too young for this, saith the octogenarian. Excuse me. Enjoy your gumming, Agnes, Thaddeus, Esther, Pappy. So apparently from the lack of support I received, specifically from the medical community, it seemed that life after cancer must only be about heartbeats and breaths. After all, who cares whether you're missing a ball, a boob, half your brain, pubic hair, your dignity, perhaps several inches of your colon? The point is you're alive, right? Isn't that all that matters? But Matt, we're trying to save your life, saying the doctors. Yeah, but at what cost, saith the me. You see, there's this thing. It's not really anything, just an afterthought. It's a meaningless term, barely mentioned, harmless, actually. It's called quality of life. And apparently the aha moment is that there's more to cure than just toxic medicine and a placental discharge back into the real world. When your clinical cancer verse runs out and the most frantically panicked day of your treatment is your last day, life doesn't just magically start anew. There's no fairy with a bared 40s hairstyle to sprinkle pixie dust on you, and poof, that whole crying in the shower thing mystically transmogrifies into a perfectly holistic serenity of nothing will ever bother me again and all my cares are footloose and fancy free. No, life after cancer is just as, if not as more important than life with and through your diagnosis, surgery, radiation, chemo, bone marrow, platelet infusions, post-surgeries, and stem cell fabulousness. Smell the metallic taste in your mouth. And cancer isn't just about babies, boomers, and seniors anymore. It's about young adults, too. A population, as you know, for whom there has been zero improvement in survival rates for 30 years. What makes it worse for young adults is that we actually hope to have a good 60 or 70 years of life left to live, and dealing with this kind of crap really cramps our style. And don't get me started on that whole can't we just all get along bent, because we can't. Not at least until we have a fundamental understanding that we will never be able to truly and directly relate to one another's uniquely generational and individual experiences outside of the whole fear thing. With 99.9% of the focus in this country on the 94% of people who get cancer, how is it fair to ask us, the young adults, to get along when we've been ignored? Personally, I didn't want to then, and I still don't want to now, get along or have my survivorship associated with anything that even stinks of children, boomers, or seniors. I like our little club. It's like Fight Club with chemo, only we're allowed to talk about chemo club and tag, share, tweet, blog, and dig our bitterness, angst, anger, frustration, and countercultural resentment right back out into the world. The young adult cancer movement and everyone out there is awesome. Permission to rebel, speak our mind, and finally have a voice. This is what matters to us. Now, some say I was given a gift. I often see that way. The gift of surviving cancer. In fact, I once heard someone say that they don't consider their cancer experience to be a gift because they'd not want to give it to someone else as a present. So I guess I asked, isn't that why they have gift receipts? I mean, could you just imagine a gift receipt for some cancer? And here's me walking into the Apple store. Hi, I'd like to return this gift receipt.
Is there something wrong with it?
Yeah, it's cancer.
Did it not work with your operating system?
Dude, it's cancer. I want a refund.
All right, well, how much RAM do you have installed?
English, dude, it's cancer. I want a refund.
I'm sorry, sir, but we only do exchanges.
Jesus, what does that mean?
It means you can get something of equal or lesser value.
Oh, yeah, fine. I'll take diphtheria.
I'm sorry, sir, but we're out of diphtheria.
Okay, can you suggest something potentially equally non-lethal?
Well, I can offer you our two top sellers. We have diabetes and Ebola.
All right, I'm just going to go home now.
All right, well, have a good day, sir, and thank you for coming to the Apple Store.
Oh, God, I digress. My gift, like that of so many others, is one that has a tendency to keep on giving and giving and giving and giving. In fact, it's been so incredibly generous that I can safely say that each and every year since I've been cured, Cancer's Gift has yielded way too many fond memories of that generosity. Thankfully, I should strenuously point out, none of them to date have involved recurrence. The issue I can't help but continue to shove down society's throat is plain and simple. And I know you're all with me. There's more to curing cancer than just cancer research. Research, research, research. Marsha, Marsha, Marsha. Thee on the thief for Thindy. While everyone is relaying, racing, training, frolicking, and crocheting for the cure, millions of Americans, and in particular hundreds of thousands of young adults, actually don't die and are faced with the challenge of rebuilding their lives, starting over, often from scratch, without any help. And that is not okay, especially for young adults. So where's the awareness for what's next? We live in a society of extremely generous individuals who want to help. They want to make a difference, but it's often just too easy to drink their own Kool-Aid and find out your good intentions have been subverted by clever branding, peer pressure, and colorful marketing strategies that make unicorn promises. Now, I've been saying this for 10 years, but do you know where your money goes? Where is the transparency and accountability policy of your favorite charity? Have you ever asked to see it or their tax returns? Have you ever visited Charity Navigator's website and seen what the number one American nonprofit watchdog group has to say about your favorite charity? How do you know you're actually making a difference? I guess it's rhetorical, I suppose. It took 20 years for the word survivorship to enter the mainstream of our pseudo-collective consciousness as a survivor community. So the basic concept of what's next is just beginning to penetrate, thanks in part to Lance Armstrong Foundation, along with emphatic passion and commitment of the young adult movement. But for the overwhelming majority of Americans, and I suppose you really can't fault them for this, cancer is still the most feared subject in the country. According to a recent survey by the Tower Cancer Foundation, we fear cancer more than terrorism. That's how bad it is. The irony being that on the whole, while a pejorative experience, it's a largely survivable one, unless, of course, you're diagnosed between 15 and 39. There was a time when we feared HIV just as much as we fear cancer, but it's not a death sentence in this country anymore. When did that change? Where was that tipping point? An exact moment when the rift tripped? And more importantly, will we ever get to that same place with cancer? I don't think it's a question of if, but when. My job here isn't to scare people to death with the notion of recurrence, secondary cancers, late effects, post-traumatic stress, etc. But they are a grounding reality that are instilled within the very nature of survivorship, inconvenient truths that cling to the inner digestive walls of our psychology. Cancer may actually be a gift. It may actually give us perspective, a new philosophy, dogmatic reassurance, or even grounding purpose, but it does take. And sometimes what it takes cannot be replaced. Reminders of its influence, no matter how subtle, influence how we choose to live our lives as victims or survivors, as sufferers or warriors, as fighters or champions. Challenge means opportunity. And while we're light years from where we came, we still have a ways to go. We're not where we were, but we're not where we'd like to be. The very fact that we are in a position to challenge cancer's progress, ask hard questions, take on the establishment, and hold accountable the government, the insurance industry, and major cancer charities is itself a social statement of progress. In fact, if you'd have told me when I was diagnosed that 13 years later, there'd be two cancer talk radio shows, one just about young adults, I'd have told you to go jump off a bridge. If you'd have told me there would be cancer revolution from the youth culture, I'd have thought you were nuts. If you'd have told me that the next me wouldn't have to go through the same crap that I did, I'd just have asked you to just leave the room. And yet here we are, 2009. And isn't that what cancer advocacy is? Ensuring that the next you doesn't have to go through the same crap that you did? The taking tree does give. Whatever cancer has taken away from me in part or in full has been replaced with passion, energy, commitment, and responsibility to roll up my sleeves and give back. This is the virus that we want to spread. The disease of social consciousness, personal accountability, self-sacrifice, altruism, and both individual and community reward. 1 in 50 Americans between 18 and 50 and 1 in 100 American college students is a cancer survivor. I'll repeat that. 1 in 50 Americans between 18 and 40 and 1 in 100 American college students is a cancer survivor. Chew on that. They're all around us. But you never know that because we look just like you. It is important to recognize that we have made incredible strides for the majority of people who are affected by cancer in this country each year. But for young adults, we are just now getting our own comeuppance and a global voice to share our own generational grievances, public health disparities, and too often ignored survival issues. After all, at the end of the day, the message is, shit happens, but this is how I'm going to get busy living, damn it. We want cancer to be a speed bump so we can get back to our derailed plans. How dare this get in my way? Seriously, the taking tree has got nothing on me or on you or on anyone. So if and when you hear the words, you're cured, go home, or now get on with the rest of your life, or what have you got to complain about? You're alive, or there are people worse off than you who didn't go through what you went through. Just remember, the young adult social movement has your back like no one else. The rest of the world doesn't have to get it, but we do. So take my ball, my boob, my brain, my hair, my hearing, my colon, my dignity. I will find something equal, if not more fabulous, to replace it with. Perhaps a Snuggie. After all, if cancer is the worst thing that has ever happened, just think, been there, done that, what could possibly be worse? Bring it on. But if cancer is indeed a gift, just don't regift it.
Well said.
Thank you. All right.
Good enough. Stupid camp. Stupid camp.
What time is it?
My first guest on tonight's Stupid Cancer Show is a member of the Young Survival Coalition's Diversity Outreach Committee and a speaker for Why Me. She supports the African Women's Cancer Awareness Association and is on the Lance Armstrong Foundation's Live Strong Young Adult Alliance. She's also writing a bestseller about how her breast cancer diagnosis transformed her life. She's an active patient advocate and attends breast cancer, oncology, and health conferences to become a more informed advocate for young women affected by breast cancer. She has received numerous awards for community service and activism. It is my distinguished pleasure to welcome back to the Stupid Cancer Show our returning champion, the one and only, and the lovely, Mama Carmo.
Hello, 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 Maddie. How are you?
Yes. Your friends Jack Bouffard and I are here to welcome you to the Stupid Cancer Show. Welcome back.
Welcome. Hi, thanks. It's good to hear you guys again. Hi, Jack. I miss you guys. I haven't seen you since the conference in Texas.
Yeah, I miss you too. It's so good to hear your voice.
I know. We had a great time.
We did, especially on that karaoke cruise.
Oh, yeah. Is that on video?
I don't think we're supposed to talk about the karaoke cruise anymore.
Okay, sorry.
We're not, but you are.
So how are you guys doing?
We are fabulous. We love our next time you're in New York, you got to come over and hang out in our studio.
I would love to. I'd be honored. I'd love to come.
I actually wore a clean shirt tonight thinking you would be in studio, and I combed my hair.
Oh, I have pajamas on, so we'd be mismatched. Just kidding.
I can come to you next time.
Huh? Pardon?
I can come to you next time. It's okay.
So, Matthew, I was listening to you talking, and I was just thinking of all the things that you were saying, and I was taking notes because I just, it's so amazing and interesting how you get this disease, whatever, whether it's, testicular cancer, lung cancer, brain cancer, as a young adult, and we have the same, challenges. you know, one of the things that I'm trying to do with Tiger Lily is to get young women, young people aware of prevention, and then, to advocate, get people aware of the lifestyle of living with cancer, even if you quote-unquote are in remission, because even if you're in remission, you still, you know, you're not cured. So I'm so glad you brought that up.
And you have breast cancer, right?
I have breast cancer. I was misdiagnosed. You know, my mother taught me when I was young to do my breast exams at 13, which I thank her for giving me life and then saving my life by teaching me, you know, a healthy lifestyle. Went to the doctor with the lump. She said to get a mammogram, which was a false negative, because young women have denser breasts. So the mammogram misread the radiologist misread my scans. And then I went to the breast surgeon who did a biopsy. I mean, she did an aspiration. The lump did not aspirate, which means it, you know, wasn't a common cyst. It wasn't, you know, doing what a cyst would do. But she insisted I was too young to have breast cancer to go home and come back in 6 months. So over 6 months, the lump doubled in size. I went back. And she still said, you know, why don't you come back in 6 more months for another aspiration? I said, you know, hell no, I don't think so. So I scheduled an aspiration / biopsy so they could have the room prepared when I went back. And lo and behold, I had breast cancer. So if I hadn't pushed for a biopsy, I probably wouldn't be on the phone call with you right now on this show. So one of the things I did is you're talking about people, you know, being responsible as an advocate and being dedicating their time and sacrificing, and I was going through my treatment, and I was laying there thinking, because within a month of finding out I had surgery, within another month I was bald, laying in bed, you know how it is going through chemo, and I was thinking, is this what people have to look forward to? I mean, how many other women my age, younger, are getting misdiagnosed? How many are going to die because they have been misdiagnosed? How many have died? You know, I just was stunned by the statistics, and so I created Tiger Lily Foundation to educate young women about breast cancer, to help to create vigilant self-advocates, to empower women to, you know, to change their lifestyles and to help the public understand that even if you've been told, you know, you have surgery, you had chemo, you had radiation, you're done, that the life you still live with cancer is still part of your lifestyle. You still have the checkups, you still have the fears, you still have friends of yours who are dying because they're misdiagnosed. That's your life now. But Tiger Lily is my passion now because we, unlike a lot of other breast cancer foundations, which they're all doing great work, Tiger Lily helps women before, during, and after. We provide hands-on services like, you know, chemo buddies, financial assistance. What else do? We provide them with women with meals. They can write to us or, you know, contact us, and we give them, you know, hands-on practical support, and then we support the lifestyle change you're talking about afterwards, helping them to cope with breast cancer, living with breast cancer after treatment ends. So,
well, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question.
How's that for a rant?
Well, we let you go. Jack and I are spinning our eyeballs here. I'm kidding.
Are you?
No, let me ask you a hard question because it's really easy to say lots of great stuff and everything's very meaningful. But what good is all the research in the world when young women are getting breast cancer at a much more alarming rate than older women, mammograms don't work, doctors don't take you seriously, and regardless of how well you eat and how well you try to manage your lifestyle athletically or through diet and nutrition, you could still grow up near cell phone towers and get cancer anyway.
Right.
It's kind of a really depressing and maniacally sad thing to concept out, but what good is it?
I don't know, and that's what we're trying to change right now because, you know, a lot of people are looking at research for people over 40. And while that's wonderful, we're not 40 yet, and we need to get research to be looked at in our favor. So, I mean, that's kind of what you're doing, myself, Christine, all the other young women, you know, who are and men who've had cancer. We're trying to get the doctors and the researchers to look at our demographic and to understand that we do exist and we are having, you know, higher mortality rate because we're younger and being misdiagnosed. And so my hope is that through all the work that you're doing, that Jack's doing, that all these people are doing that are our age, we can hopefully change how doctors and researchers and scientists view us and start to make some real change.
Well, I mean, one of my favorite topics to discuss, and I was just talking with somebody about it today separately, is this notion of environmental oncology. And we had Dr. Deborah Davis on the show 2 weeks ago from the University of Pittsburgh in Center of Environmental Oncology.
She wrote a book called The Secret History of the War on Cancer. And it pretty much discloses how, you know, things like cell phones might be the new cigarettes, and cell phone towers, and living around electric power lines, and on top of dumps and wastelands, and, you know, environmental factors that are influencing our genetics and pushing our health and immune systems to the limit. It really earns my ire, because what are you going to do, take on agribusiness? You can't do that.
Well,
so,
I mean, the whole world, you know, I love technology. I love industrialization. I love how it's changed the world and it's made things easier for us. We have cars, cell phones, microwaves. But the very thing that's making our lives easier could be killing us. You know, the fact that we're putting food in the microwave and it's getting cooked in 10 minutes, and how just the radiation in the microwave, and the cell phone towers, and our addiction to technology, where our brains don't get a break. You know what I mean? And the cars, I mean, it's just like, how do you change the fact that there are supermarkets all over the world, and that people are killing animals to feed people, because there are more and more of us being born every minute, every day, and to be able to serve us with food, they're going to put it on the shelf, and there's meat that we're eating and chicken that's stuck with hormones and preservatives and chemicals, and you know, it's kind of like, I often think about, how do we create a change, and how do we change the politics behind agriculture and technology? And if we do change it, we have to really change the way we live and maybe give up some things that are convenient for us, you know?
Well, I can't really see society getting rid of cell phones and electricity. I think
we're
beyond
that
point, yeah.
I have to get my hair done with a curling iron, so that's not going to change.
No, and no one would ever ask you to give that up. I don't think so.
You look good no matter what your hair looks like.
We pay Jack to say these things. But in all honesty, no, I don't think anyone's expecting us to revert to, like, you know, Cro-Magnon days where we, like, had rocks and no electricity.
No.
It's just, you know, we are living in a consequence of progress, and it's affecting
right.
our health. So is it really about, like, making ourselves superheroes, or not having to worry about the causes and just deal with the symptoms as they come up and hope for the best over the next X years? It's really a convoluted system, but the reason I focus and you focus on young adults is because we've already kind of looked at that through the lens of pediatrics and geriatrics, and we are the age group that has never been looked at through that lens. So,
right.
I saw here that you were on NBC recently. You're on TV, right?
I've been getting so much. So I've been so lucky lately. I'm on a wine label. It's called Cleavage Creek Wine, and they support breast cancer research, but they feature AIDS survivors on their wine bottles every year. And part of the funds from the bottle that I'm on goes towards Tiger Lily to support us young adult, you know, advocacy efforts. But they were featured on the Today Show, and then they had Tiger Lily and website and my picture on the bottle on their website. So that was really interesting. But before that, so that happened this past week. That was really exciting. It was really amazing. Last year, I believe in September, I got to be featured on the Oprah Winfrey Show, which was very cool.
Very cool. And you look good, too, especially in HD.
It was exciting because I've never seen them do a young adult show before, and they didn't label it as that. But Christina Applegate was the headliner. And Nancy Brinker was on there, and she founded Coleman, and she, you know, talked about the foundation. But Christina was on there, and so was I. We were the only two young adult guests. And then there was, you know, Nancy. So what to me, that was really a great thing, because it meant that people like Oprah Winfrey are looking at young adults and breast cancer. And, you know, it talked about being, you know, our age and getting breast cancer and how we were coping. And there were several guests who were on Skype who were also young women who had gotten breast cancer. So to me, it was really critical to, you know, share my story and share, you know, how I felt and be really honest. And, you know, at one point in the show, they did a pre-taping of me telling my story, and I really tried to be, you know, you try to hold it in, but when you're telling your story, you just kind of get emotional. And so many women from all over the world contacted me and said, that's how I felt when I got, you know, my diagnosis. I was terrified. I was scared. I got misdiagnosed. And you hear that story all the time. And so it's really been powerful for me as an advocate sharing that story with women, because a lot of young women I've met might have gotten breast cancer and not talked about it so much, but when they hear you being so vocal about it, they go, oh my God, I can talk about it. I went to my doctor. I was misdiagnosed, you know, or this happened or that happened. And the really great thing is when you can empower somebody else to tell their story, it kind of, you know, it just amazing to get young people galvanized in this movement that we have to create, that we are creating to help create a change. So,
yeah,
but back to your question, the wine thing was really cool on NBC. Yes.
And Mema, I just want to commend you for, you know, putting your story out there to a worldwide audience and millions of young women in the United States who do watch Oprah on a daily basis. And, you know, for you to, you know, expose your story and, you know, share your, you know, what you went through with everybody and receive that type of feedback. I mean, raising the awareness that you did, you know, just in that 1 hour or 40 minutes or whatever, it's huge. And I really look up to you in that manner for doing that.
Is this Jack talking?
It sure is.
Oh, hey, Jackie, how are you?
I've been here the whole time.
In the chat room.
I've been here the whole time.
Well, you were in the chat room, so I didn't know if you were on the air. But it's really, I think it's great what you guys are doing, too, and all the young adults, because being transparent, whether it's being angry about what happened to you or being vocal or just letting yourself cry and be who you are, is really what's going to be effective. It is effective because by us all telling our stories, I'll tell you, when I got diagnosed, I didn't know anybody my age who had gotten diagnosed, and I felt so invisible. And then I began to find other young people, and I cannot tell you how much strength that gave me. And then finding, like, you know, Matt and meeting Jack at the conference, and being at that conference, the Lance Armstrong Foundation Young Adult Alliance Conference, and seeing 100-some-odd young survivors or people that were young adult advocates, I felt like I was Superman, Superwoman. I mean, it's like, wow, we all are here to support the mission of creating awareness, changing, you know, young adult oncology issues and advocating for our demographic. That was just really powerful. So I feel honored to know you guys and see what you're doing. It's amazing.
Well, we got about a minute left. These segments, they go quickly. And when you're the host, you'll know how quickly they actually go. I just wanted your thoughts on my, you know, I kind of invented that thing that I said in the rant tonight about it. To me, advocacy is making sure that the next you doesn't go through the crap you went through. Do you feel that that's accurate, or could be more or less added to that?
Making sure the next group doesn't go through what you went through? Of course it is. I mean, that's why I began Tiger Lily. I don't want some other girl going to a doctor with a lump and getting misdiagnosed and laughed at. My doctor snickered at me. I don't want someone to die because they were misdiagnosed. I don't want someone to have breast cancer, go through it alone, feel isolated. And then even worse, even after you get, you know, when you're done with treatment and you tell people you have these challenges, you know, you're young, you have to tell, it's like for women, even for men, you know, you have to date if you have one ball. How do you tell a girl you just met who's really hot, I think you're really awesome, maybe I want to date you and get to know you better, but I only have one testicle? How do you tell a guy that you meet, you know, I have one breast or none, or I can't ever have a child, you know? And how do you deal with the constant checkups, the constant, you know, fears? And not, you're not always afraid, but, you know, you live with this thing for the rest of your life. And so, and changing the landscape, changing how doctors think, changing how, you know, they treat us so that we don't lose our fertility and we, you know, are able to live more normal lifestyles and healthier lifestyles. It's a lot of work to do, but I think it's important what we're doing because we don't want the next generation to go through this, and that's what I advocate for and you guys as well. So I, you know, I'm honored to be able to do this work, to be honest with you. It's
well,
wonderful.
And we wish you all the luck in the world with everything you're doing. Please do keep us apprised of what's going on. Check in with us from time to time. Call in anytime you'd like. And we'll definitely look forward to seeing you real soon.
I hope so. So when is, you guys are going to be, you're in New York, so I'll come eventually and I'll visit with you all in the studio.
Absolutely. It's a date.
Sounds good.
Okay, thanks, you guys.
I'm definitely free that day. All right.
Talk
good night, Mema.
Good night.
All right, name or karma, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
All righty.
What time is it?
My second guest tonight. As a result of her experience at the time of diagnosis, as a co-survivor and her husband, Gary, they created a tag team presentation highlighting the proactive components that go hand-in-hand with treatment and empower a survivor to live well with and after cancer. The couple has presented at cancer centers, medical conferences, and high school health classes. She has published a book that spotlights survivors and caregivers, and I believe I'm one of those stories. Found a way to give back Please welcome to the Stupid Cancer Show, Marl Johnson.
Hey, Matthew.
Welcome to the show.
Good evening.
Thank you. It's good to talk to you again.
Yes, it's been a while. I was mentioning to Jack before that, we've probably spoken over a year ago.
Yeah, I was trying to remember myself. I think it's been a little over a year.
Yeah, way back before before all this crazy insanity happened.
Yes, I like your phrase about how we choose to live our lives, either as victims or as survivors. That's well said.
Thank you very much. From a writer, I'll take whatever I can get from a professional writer.
Well, because I think our attitudes and our choices really do determine our quality of life. Survivorship is a proactive business, and I think the mistake that a lot of newly diagnosed cancer patients make is they sit back and they hope that treatments are all that they need, to live well with cancer, and that's just not the case. I just love your whole theme, survivorship, and survivorship is all the rage, you say, and that's very cool.
Well, thank you very much, and congratulations to you. For me, the daunting concept of writing a book is enough to drive me insane. Just the thought of the concept, and yet you've spent how many years now putting this amazing project together, and I'd like you to tell a little bit about you and your husband's story, and then what was it specifically that inclined you to take on this incredible challenge of writing this book?
Oh, well, my husband was diagnosed with prostate cancer at a relatively young age, and it's had metastasized to his lymph nodes. So he's on a treatment that's not a cure, but just holds the cells in check for a period of time. And we specifically asked at the time of diagnosis, what can we do? And we didn't get any good advice at the time. And so we did a lot of research, and we came up with this concept of putting together a team that would help us live with cancer, live well with it. And our team, of course, are team members that you would expect, like nutrition and exercise and stress management. But one of our team members is finding purpose. We were looking around us at this community where we live, and incidentally, it's in Bend, Oregon, and I get to work with your friend and mine, Dr. Archie Blyer.
Archie.
Yes.
Archie's a great guy.
Isn't he? He's just incredible. And actually, he's in an office right next to mine. I work in the Cancer Treatment Center here. But at the time of diagnosis, we didn't know him, and no one had told us about his Defeat Cancer program, a survivorship program. And it's this monthly meeting, and there are between 70 and 100 people there, and there are guest speakers. They're inspirational. The emphasis is on exercise and nutrition. We were seeing quite a few people in our small community that were doing some really amazing things as a result of having had cancer. And so then my husband came up with the idea of looking for survivors from across the country that were doing something beyond just getting through cancer and, stopping there, but doing something that would help other people, traverse the same journey. And he found your story, Matthew, and he did all of the research. I contacted people from various places. We're looking for a nice variety of things because not everyone's going to start the Stupid Cancer Show. Not everyone can do that, but other people can take their passions, their interests, their skills, and create something, to give back. So what a fun project that was. I got to meet people like you and just such a wonderful variety of people. The book is comprised of 28 short stories. There's 28 chapters, and I love your story, Matthew. It's really incredible what you've done.
Well, thank you. And who were some of the other people, and how did you meet them from the book?
Oh, well, there's Doug Ullman. I'm sure you know him.
Yep.
From Lance Armstrong Foundation. But I think what a lot of people don't know is that he founded his own organization with the help of his family before he went to work for the Lance Armstrong Foundation. He was just a 19-year-old college student soccer player when he had cancer, as a three-time survivor. One of the stories is about Jennifer Brewster. She was Tug McGraw's caregiver before he died of brain cancer. He was given just a few weeks to live, and her husband played on the same Phillies World Series team with Tug McGraw. So they were close friends. Tug was like a big brother to her. So she became his caregiver and extended through her research and through change in diet and exercise. He lived 11 months. And before he passed away, she said, your legacy is in establishing something that will help other brain cancer survivors. And so there's just a variety of people from across the country that have written books or are knitting prayer shawls or making quilts for chemo patients or have started foundations that are helping families that have children with cancer, or they're building houses, you know, a house where cancer patients can come and stay near the hospital during times of treatment. So it's just an amazing variety of people. I've fallen in love with every single one of them.
And I guess this is probably going to be a hard question to answer, but how did you – what made somebody worthy of being in the book? Like, were you able to – I mean, it's kind of a hard question to ask, but – did someone have to achieve a certain type of thing, or like did you meet people that, oh, you met someone, oh, I met this guy, math out, I got to go with this guy instead?
No, that's a good question, but it is hard to answer. I think what we were looking for was a variety. And so, you know, like I said, Gary did the research, and we came across this a gentleman from Vermont whose wife was a quilter, and she died of lung cancer. And he was an animal nutrition specialist, worked with farmers, and coached soccer, year-round soccer, indoor and outdoor. He was a soccer official. And so he started sewing a quilt after his wife died. And he wasn't a quilter. I mean, he wasn't the seamstress. She was the seamstress in the family. But it was just his way of working through his grief. And then he came up with the idea, gosh, why not, start an online raffle where people from around the world can buy raffle tickets and buy this quilt, and then the money can go to lung cancer research. So we were just looking for, you know, people from various places in the country, people of various ages, people that have done just various things, because the grandma in Michigan who's a breast cancer survivor is not going to start a foundation, or maybe not put on a race or a walk to benefit cancer, but she can knit a prayer shawl for chemo patients or something. So we were looking for things that would be an inspiration to a variety of other cancer survivors and caregivers. They would say, oh, I can't do that, but I could do this.
And I've known Doug for quite a long time now, and I know you said he was in the book before. And you're absolutely right. Most people don't realize that there was a life. Doug had a life in cancer advocacy before he joined Lance Armstrong Foundation, and he was one of the first people to ever start a young adult organization.
Yes. Yeah, because he and his mom, his family, they called around to find out what services were available for a 19-year-old with cancer. Where can I get help? Where can I meet people my age? And they said, you're too young to have cancer. It's the same, response that you experienced. And so it's like he said, I was raised in a family that taught me, if there's a problem, you get involved and be part of the solution. And so they started the Ullman Foundation for Young Adult Cancer Survivors. So they've done some really, really awesome things.
And it's funny, I'm curious as to why you chose to call the book Cancer Adventures.
Oh, because
Almost like it should be a ride at Disney World or something.
Yeah, because life is an adventure, and it's not always the one that you expect it. But tough things are going to come our way. So that's why I loved what you said about choices. We can choose to be a victim or a survivor. And Gary, my husband, and I have chosen to live well with a cancer that has no known cure. And life is precious, and so we want to, live well, give back as much as possible. You mentioned in the introduction, we've put together this tag team presentation, back and forth husband-wife, with some of Gary's wonderful dry humor thrown in, and we show our family, and we show our hygiene, and we just talk about the different components that's our cancer team that's helping us live well with this disease. And Gary is the coach, and I'm the assistant coach. The medical professionals are not the coach of our team. They may be the superstars, but a superstar never won a game entirely on his own. So we put together this team, and we're on this adventure. We just want to enjoy life as much as possible, and we've always enjoyed life. We've had a wonderful marriage. We have kids that we love, that we have good relationships with, wonderful extended family, but everything is so much more magnified because of cancer. Life is that much more precious. Family is that much more valuable to us. The time that we spend together is just, you know, that much more important. So it's just been it's a good adventure.
I'm going to agree with that. I'm going to agree with that. I think that's a very well put, very poignant.
Oh, thanks.
So what's obviously this has been like the focus of your life for quite a while now. Are you even thinking about a follow-up, or are you just basking in the glory of having produced such an extraordinary work?
Oh, I would love to do a book just full of AYA cancer survivors and the things that they've accomplished, because that's the age group that tends to be, you know, the sky's the limit. They tend to be entrepreneurial or tend to think outside the box, and I think for a young person to be hit with a cancer diagnosis and go through the whole, you know, the treatment and everything that goes with it and have their life alternated drastically, I think maybe there would be a tendency to just say, well, that's the end of my life. I mean, there go all my hopes and dreams. And I would just love to inspire that age group with examples and stories of other young people like yourself who have, you know, you get past that and then you take your passions, your interests, your skills, and then, you know, create something that will benefit others, because I think that's part of living well. And I know with your story, you were on a career for, you were headed to Hollywood, and you wanted to write music, and your career was waylaid, and you got into the advertising industry, but then you were able to take that skill, that advertising industry, the skills that you learned, and create what you've got going now. So that's the key. What is it that so you've got cancer, but what is it that you can do, what is it that you love to do that you can turn into something to benefit others?
And I really do appreciate that. It's a real honor to be part of this book and of the amazing other stories that are in there. You know, it's not a contest, of course, and I'm just so proud that we're, again, like I said in my monologue, the very fact that we're having a conversation about these media developments and social change on a radio show about cancer is just profound. And it does go back to the fact that, you know, like anyone said, if you had told me this back then, I'd have laughed you off the stage.
Yeah.
You're the embodiment of why we can be who we are. And you know, I use the term get busy living, but you have chosen to use an older cliche, make lemonade from lemons. But, you know, it's still every bit as appropriate to use when we're talking about helping other people.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Get busy living. I love that.
I can't take credit for that. You know, obviously, that's Stephen King. Stephen King from The Shawshank Redemption said, get busy living or get busy dying. I kind of chopped off the other half because I don't think you should really tell anybody to get busy dying.
I could think of a few people.
Well,
to say
maybe
that too.
A couple of people from Germany in the 30s, but that's about it. But you're out in Portland, you said, right?
We're in Bend.
In Bend, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, with Archie.
Yes,
right.
With Archie, yeah.
So do you know Matt Lowney also?
Well, he's a friend of mine on Facebook, but I don't know him personally.
Is he a real person?
Yeah.
Can we ever confirm that Matt Lowney exists?
Yeah. I think Matt Lowney exists. No, he definitely exists. actually, Matt, you would love to get to know him. Yeah, Matt was one of Archie's patients.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry, he was one of Brandon Latton's patients.
Okay.
Dr. Brandon Hayes Latton is one of his patients, and Brandon and Archie go way back. For young adults. And Archie, you know, Archie's like the godfather of young adult and pediatric oncology.
Yeah.
He's great. But, yeah, definitely get in touch with Brandon. It would be great for the two of you to meet each other. You live right next door to each other practically.
I would love to do that.
Yeah.
And I just want to say that my all-time favorite breakfast place in the entire United States is in Bend, and it's Alpenglow.
You're kidding. You've been to Bend?
I have. I have friends that live out there, and Alpenglow is the best breakfast place I've ever been to, and that's one of the main reasons why I fly all the way across the country to visit my friends in Bend, is just to go there.
For food.
Well, we're out of time, Marl. I'm really sorry about that, but it's been such a pleasure to have you on the show. And
oh, thanks.
What's the website for your book so we can tell people how they can go get it?
Our website is www.canceradventures.org.
Jack's going to type that in, canceradventures.org.
Yes.
Good luck to you with everything, and by all means, I don't get out to Bend as often as Jack, apparently, but if you find yourself in New York City.
Want some good pancakes?
Yeah. You've got yourself I'll buy you a drink. You come out to New York.
Okay, thanks, Matthew.
Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for coming on. Good luck. Take care.
You're welcome. Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right. Miles Johnson, everybody. CancerAdventures.org. All righty, now it's time for our closing sequence.
Prepare to activate.
I hear there's rumors on the internets.
You ever seen a grown man naked?
And so, to all of you, a fond farewell.
Hooray, I'm helping.
You are a meathead.
Oh, Magoo, you've done it again.
That was so terrible, I think you gave me cancer.
All right, folks, that's tonight's show. I hope you had as much fun as I did poking a stick at stupid cancer.
Love.
I'd like to thank my guests, Mema, Carmo, and Marles Johnson. Next week, the return of Carol Rosenthal as she gets her own show. Next show is called Everything Changes, featuring Carol Rosenthal as I take the back seat as co-host. Carol is going to be interviewing some of the people who are in her book, Everything Changes, and her new website, her gorgeous new website, EverythingChangesBook.com, the lovely Carol Rosenthal. Should be one hell of a show. Same bat time, same bat channel. Remember, if you've missed any of our previous shows, you can listen to the archives at StupidCancerShow.com or subscribe to our podcast by visiting iTunes and searching for Stupid Cancer Show or going to iTunes.i2y.com. Remember, if it's not stupid, it's not cancer. We'll see you back here next week, live from the chemo deck. Jack, Captain Stubing, and I wish you all a phenomenal evening.
Bye-bye!
Bye-bye! Go to bed, Leah. Fuck her out.